1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It gets real today for former Trump aide Peter Navarro, who must report to prison after his last chance Supreme Court appeal failed.
Former President Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro will spend the next 4 months in prison. He is the only former White House official ever jailed for contempt of Congress, and the Supreme Court agreed with a lower court that he had little chance of winning an appeal, so they did not allow him to avoid the sentence. Navarro will serve his time at a minimum security federal prison camp near Miami.
ABC's Andy Field. 1 week before he has to put up almost $500 million to appeal New York State's business fraud judgment against him, Donald Trump's lawyers say he can't. He wants a reduced bond amount. State and local police in Texas will not be allowed to arrest and deport individuals they suspect of being in the United States illegally. A one-page order from Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito extends indefinitely the court's block on the Texas law. This is ABC News. The Homeland Security Department will try deploying AI against fentanyl.
Artificial intelligence models like Gemini from Google are capable of scanning through and summarizing vast stores of information. That's what DHS says its new pilot program is designed to do, intended to help investigators summarize and search for information within lengthy investigative reports. The department says it could lead to, among other things, more fentanyl seizures, but the technology has drawn criticism for occasionally producing false or misleading information. Mike DeBasco, ABC News.
Heritage Auction says the pair of ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz, stolen in 2005 and recovered in 2018, will go on tour before being auctioned in December. Terry John Martin pleaded guilty last October to stealing the footwear. Another man has been charged with hiding them all these years, although Jerry Hal Sliderman's connection to Martin isn't quite clear. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We got a message on Facebook from Nicholas who says air fryers are perfect for leftover pizza.
There you go.
I bet that would work.
I have an air fryer.
I've got one. I'm doing that.
Yes.
Another thing I'm going to do is use my dehumidifier and I'm going to make jerky.
It's not a dehumidifier, John.
What is it again?
Dehydrator.
That's what it is.
All right.
Now we can go to break.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9. On the talk of Green Bay, WGBW and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media
app.
Hey,
it's John Mino on Tuesday's show. Sandra Rank joins us with her Inside the House segment. Mino and the Mayor, morning 6 till 9 on WISS and WGBW.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 47 this afternoon, and it will be a little breezy with wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, partly cloudy, 21. Tomorrow, sunshine, 32. We are keeping an eye on a system that could bring some snow by Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Coming up Tuesday on Matt and Air On Air, Luke Mathers will join us to kick around the news at 10:33, and we'll play a round of three headlines and a lie. Don't miss it.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Happy National Agriculture Day. Yep, it is the first day of spring officially, and that's when we celebrate everything agriculture. And that involves not just our farms and agribusinesses, but our consumers. If you appreciate being able to buy local, if you know a farmer or appreciate the rural terrain, come on in. The water's fine. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke, and we'll be talking more about National Agriculture Day as the hour unfolds. Wisconsin Secretary of Agriculture Randy Romanski has a couple numbers he wants to share with you. That's coming up. We're also focused in on some special events that are being held across the state to help people learn a little bit more about the state's strong economy that is agriculture. So, like I said, a lot of different ways we'll slice it and dice it for you. Although this may be the first day of spring, the weather this week is not going to be spring-like all the way around. Partly cloudy skies on the way today. 53 are expected high, so not bad that way. Winds are going to be a little gusty, up to 17 miles an hour. But then tomorrow we've got sunshine, but a cool 34 degrees. Partly cloudy on Thursday, 39. And now Friday is when we've got that really solid chance of seeing snow. Some of it's going to stay on the ground for just a little while. 38 are expected high. The weekend looks chilly and wet as well. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, on the way with the weather details you're looking for.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit WisconsinPublicService.com.
Well, despite the weather that we've got coming up later this week with snow in the forecast, the above average winter we've enjoyed for the most part has a lot of people thinking about jump-starting spring projects. Maybe it's seeding down that lawn in the backyard, or maybe it's about starting a deck project or something like that. There's also a lot of people that have decided this year they want to raise birds in their backyard. Chickens is what we're focused in on. Nick Lewandowski can tell you all about it. He's the owner and operator of Sunnyside Hatchery and Beaver Dam. He's also the president of the Wisconsin Poultry Association, and he agrees that the warmer weather this winter has got a lot of his clients acting early.
You know, a lot of folks that we work with, you know, have a pretty standard schedule that they've used year after year after year. You know, they might get their broiler birds in the, you know, the 1st of May, and then they're processing them by, you know, the end of June, beginning of July. And that's, you know, that's what they've been doing for years. So we have a lot of people like that. But and just recently, in the last week or two, I've gotten some text messages and some emails from customers, longtime customers, who are like, you know, if this weather trend continues, you know, we might want to try an extra round of birds, especially, you know, people that do like pastured poultry. If we continue on this trend, you know, we should have a good substantial amount of grass, you know, end of April, certainly the 1st of May. And, you know, that might move up that window to have birds outside growing on pasture than we're normally accustomed to. You know, the only thing that we'd have to really keep an eye on with that is, you know, what are the temperature ranges?
Mm-hmm.
So you still got to make sure these birds are staying warm enough.
Not to be put a pun on feet here, but how is the appetite for chicks this year, poultry in general? You know, you and I have talked at sometimes, Nick, where I'm barely catching you taking a breath. The shortage of eggs due to the avian influenza a couple years back had you hopping all over the place. What's the temperament of your customers this year?
Well, thus far, it seems to be a pretty average year as far as the amount of traffic we're getting, you know, on the phone lines and the inquiries on the email and stuff like that, and then, you know, the amount of physical orders we're getting. You know, with these nice days and stuff, it definitely gets people thinking spring and thinking chicks a little bit more. But, you know, the fact that we haven't had you know, $6 a dozen eggs that we're dealing with, you know, that caused a bit of a panic a year ago. And then just with the uncertainties with the avian influenza and, you know, uncertainties of their chicken and egg availability, you know, really caused a stir the last couple of years. This year, it's definitely been toned down a little bit, which is okay. You know, it's kind of, I wouldn't call it quite slow and steady, but it's just, it's pretty consistent and pretty reasonable volume that we're working with, which is nice.
Now, do you have to change anything about your operation, Nick, how you transport or what you do with these chicks with this kind of weather?
A little bit. Like in years past, I get like these boxes for when we're shipping chicks. They're almost like I wouldn't say double insulated, but the cardboard's a little thicker. There's a little bit less ventilation, but more insulation to the boxes. And plus, we'd also add a heating pack, like a hand warmer heating pack, to keep the chicks warm for a day or two while they're en route to the customers. Mm-hmm. We had our first big shipment last week, and we used the winter type boxes, but I didn't dare put a hand warmer in those because they could have gotten a little too warm.
So let's help the backyard birders that are new to this. I think everybody sees the picture of the little fuzzy chicks and they say, yep, that's what I want. Get them to me. Mm-hmm. First of all, Nick, tell me how difficult it is working with those babies and what you've got to do just to get them born, get them on their two legs, and sure, then prepare for potential transport. And I'm just talking about the little fuzzy wuzzies.
Yeah. So, if you're looking to buy chicks, whether you're going to your local, you know, farm supply store, or if you're ordering some through the mail or decide to come visit us over here at the hatchery with an order, you know, you're definitely going to have to be prepared ahead of time. You're going to have to give those birds, first, you have to give them a place that you can monitor the temperature appropriately. You know, these birds are arriving anywhere from 24 to 72 hours since they emerged from the egg. So they're going to need a comfortable environment, and they're also going to need the appropriate food and water in front of them to get hydrated, to fill their stomachs up, and, you know, all the while, you know, be in a comfortable environment. You know, a comfortable environment for a day-old chicken is 90 to 95 degrees. And it's also, you know, 90 to 95 degrees, and also having maybe an area where they can get outside from underneath that brooder if it does get a little bit warm. So you want to keep it warm under there, but not too warm, and you certainly don't want it to be drafty. So just remember, you know, a comfortable bird is going to have much less stress that it's dealing with versus a bird that's being chilled or a bird that's way, way too hot. You know, all those stress factors then influence how much that bird eats and drinks. And it's so important those first, you know, couple days that you have them at your home, that they get hydrated and that they eat as much as possible, because, you know, that just gets them off to a good start. There's also a lot of supplements and vitamins and electrolytes and stuff we offer them here at the hatchery. You can get them at most feed stores as well, you know, that have, you know, just a little added boost of vitamins and stuff that they're not going to necessarily get through the feed, certainly not through the water. And it just kind of gives them, you know, kind of a shot in the arm to get off to a great start. So you need it to be comfortable, out of drafts, a spot maybe where they can kind of get away to more of like a room temperature area. and then having the appropriate feed and water in front of them just to get them started. And it's also important, too, one thing that we want to remind people that are ordering birds, especially if they're picking them up at a feed store or picking them up from the certainly if you're picking up from the post office, is make it a priority to get those birds home. We all live busy lives, and we all have things going on, getting kids to school and going to our jobs and stuff. But it's so important that as soon as you're notified that those birds are arrived, that they're at the post office, that you get them home and get them, you know, get them that appropriate care that they need.
They're babies. Nick Lewandowski, president of the Wisconsin Poultry Association and owner and operator of Sunnyside Hatchery in Beaver Dam, he says there's a lot of information available for beginning backyard birders to make sure you're taking care of those animals properly. University Extension can help. A lot of 4-H leaders around the area, also great resources. Or he says you can reach out to him as well. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 Player Selection Draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9, on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome Jesse March and comedian Roger Rittenhouse. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
They're spring projects, but we know that sooner or later, we're going to be heading for the fields. But I'll tell you what, a lot of Wisconsin agribusinesses, a lot of Wisconsin farms facing continued challenges when it comes to available labor. So where are they looking? Well, some of our farms, as well as our agribusinesses, are turning to professional services that they can rely on to get them quality workers. And I'm putting the emphasis there on quality workers because these companies say that they are going to try to supply English-speaking legal assistance, primarily coming from people from Eastern Europe through the H-2A program. Walter Conlin is one of the folks that is trying to help organize that labor pool for Wisconsin farms and agribusinesses. He runs Farmhands LLC, and he says, if you decide that you want to try to take on the H-2A program on your own to find employees, that's your right. But he cautions, it's kind of complicated.
Well, if you want to do the H-2A, the first place you want to look is at the government flag site, flag.dol.gov. It has the process explained there. You might want, or at least for the first time, hire a company that has done this in the past, because when you do something for the first time, you're going to be making some mistakes. And a wise man once told me the definition of an expert is someone who's already made the same mistakes you're about to make. So if you have somebody who's done it before help you, it probably is a good thing for the first time around. Now, many people will process themselves. Others may feel they're just so busy, so they contract it out to the same H-2A firm.
And that's exactly what they do. Again, that's Walter Conlon with Farmhands LLC, one of the consultants that tries to help farms and agribusinesses locate that quality employee pool that they're really looking for when it comes to all the activity we're going to have just around the corner. Time to talk weather. Not so much activity coming up this week as far as outdoor, you know, seeding or plowing or doing. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, is along with us. I've had a couple people ask, what do you see specifically coming later this week? We had talked about snow possibly Thursday. Now it sounds like that snow is going to show up on Friday, but maybe with more of a vengeance from what I'm seeing.
Well, Thursday night into Friday, that would look like the window to me. And, yeah, there will be some accumulating snows. I think we talked about that. It's not just going to be a passing flurry or anything. I'm seeing a real bullseye at northeast Iowa, southeast Minnesota, into western Wisconsin. Oh, great, that's us. Let's see. In there, 4 or 5 inches, certainly Ooh. Looking to be a little more possible. And that will continue a little further northeast, so up into central Wisconsin, maybe northeast Wisconsin picking up on this. And that's not it. We get this one late Thursday night into Friday. There could be another measurable snow event into early next week as we're looking out ahead. So a couple of things to watch for coming up. Today, there's a cool front dropping in out of the northwest. No, it's not going to mean any snow, not really a big deal, except that our winds will become northwest behind that cool front. And the northwest wind cools it off again. So today our temps warm up over yesterday. It's going to feel much nicer, but it will be quite breezy as well. But at least we warm up, and then it gets colder overnight, right on into Wednesday, staying colder, colder than normal for Thursday. But by late Thursday then and into Friday morning, snow developing and accumulating. May not be a lot in southern or southeast Wisconsin, but heavier from the west up into the north central part of the state, I'd expect. And behind that snow, it may linger for a little into Friday. We stay a little cooler and drier heading into the weekend. Later in the weekend, that next possibility of precipitation that could be measurable trying to head our way. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Compeer Financial, we provide services based on your needs. So whether it's ag lending, crop insurance, or other financial services, or you're seeking industry expertise from a trusted advisor, we're here as a partner and member of your community that is defined by you. Contact your local Compeer Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on April 5th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form. That's now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Holy crow, with the snow you're talking about, Stu, I'm thinking about all those lilies, all those daffodils, all those crocus. I mean, it's not the first time we've seen them buried in snow, but it sounds like this one's going to stick around a while.
Well, it's not going to melt off, you know, tomorrow. That's how it's going to work out. But let's look it up today. More sunshine around, some clouds, high clouds building in later in the day in the south. I expect today's high up around 50, some upper 40s further east. Southwest winds 10 to 20, a little gusty, become northwest. Even late this morning in the northwest, by afternoon further southeast. and gusts this afternoon up toward 30 or better. We stay clear overnight, low 20s. Northwest winds 5 to 15. More sunshine Wednesday, mid 30s for highs. The northwest winds 5 to 15. Mostly sunny Thursday. The day starts out nice in the upper 30s, maybe a 40 in the west. Northeast winds become southeast at 5. But Thursday night, Pam, the snow lingers into Friday. I said that bullseye, southeast Minnesota, northeast Iowa, western Wisconsin is where we're going to watch for some pretty big snow.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. Enjoy National Agriculture Day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
That's right. Okay, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with the weather details you may or may not want to listen to. Now, listen, we've been telling you I need rainfall reporters for the National Weather Service, even if it's one of those deals where you're using a yardstick to measure it. It's still precipitation. Want to join up with that team? There are a lot of areas in Wisconsin, including some urban counties that still need rainfall reporters. Find out more at WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station. I didn't, to the four
you drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It gets real today for former Trump aide Peter Navarro, who must report to prison after his last-chance Supreme Court appeal failed.
Former President Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro will spend the next 4 months in prison. He is the only former White House official ever jailed for contempt of Congress, and the Supreme Court agreed with a lower court that he had little chance of winning an appeal, so they did not allow him to avoid the sentence. Navarro will serve his time at a minimum security federal prison camp near Miami.
ABC's Andy Field. 1 week before he has to put up almost $500 million to appeal New York State's business fraud judgment against him, Donald Trump's lawyers say he can't. He wants a reduced bond amount. State and local police in Texas will not be allowed to arrest and deport individuals they suspect of being in the United States illegally. A one-page order from Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito extends indefinitely the court's block on the Texas law. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is calling on Republicans to release $15 million to help stabilize healthcare access in western Wisconsin. Evers signed a bill earlier this month to send emergency funding to the area after both HSHS and Previa Health announced they would close several hospitals. That emergency funding is still tied up in the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee. They say that the money should only be used for emergency hospital services. Senator Ron Johnson says he hopes the Senate will take their time studying the House TikTok bill before calling for a floor vote.
What I've looked so far, there's very legitimate concerns on both sides of the issue. So I'm hoping we don't just rush into this, take a vote. I hope we actually do deliberate on this and take a look at this thing both from both sides.
The bill would take TikTok off U.S. app stores unless its Chinese owners sell to an American buyer. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers are headed to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers, learn they will face James Madison University in the first round of the NCAA tournament after losing to Illinois yesterday in the Big Ten. They won't have to play until Friday night. Could they use the break? Greg Gard.
Everybody needs it. Everybody. We played four games in 4 days. Even I need it. So, but no, it'll be good because we'll fly out there Wednesday, I'm sure. And which has always been one of my arguments with the league is that the teams that play on Sunday should not be in a Thursday bracket.
NBA, the Bucks with a win, 140-129 over the Suns. Chris Middleton, after missing the past month with a sprained left ankle, scored 22 points and was asked if he felt like he was right back in rhythm with the team.
It did. You know, a lot of the work that I was doing in rehab was just trying to make sure my wind was there, my conditioning was as good as it can be, and, you know, I thought it was.
That's the Bucks' Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey everybody, Todd Lobel here, Tuesday noon till 2. It is Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 47 this afternoon, and it will be a little breezy with wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, partly cloudy, 21. Tomorrow, sunshine, 32. We are keeping an eye on a system that could bring some snow by Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Mino and the Mayor. We got a message on Facebook from Nicholas who says air fryers are perfect for leftover pizza.
There you go.
I bet that would work.
I have an air fryer.
I've got one. I'm doing that.
Yes.
Another thing I'm going to do, I'm going to use my dehumidifier and I'm going to make jerky.
It's not a dehumidifier, John.
What is it again?
Dehydrator.
That's what it is.
All right.
Now we
can go to break.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9. On the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former Drew. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why... I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Who needs an alarm clock when you've got the farm babe? Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
Well, up and at them for sure on a National Agriculture Day, first day of spring. It's going to feel a little bit more like spring today than it did yesterday. Partly cloudy skies, 53 degrees with winds out of the west, up to 17 miles an hour. Then tomorrow, sunshine but chilly, 34 our expected high. Thursday, partly cloudy and 39. They've moved the snow forecast into Friday now with a daytime high on Friday right around 38 degrees. Really glad you're along with us. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. We are not going to be joined by John Heinberg this morning, but instead, in honor of National Agriculture Day, going to give you an update on some numbers that you don't hear discussed a lot in the news. Consumer trends. You know, for a long time, our Wisconsin dairy producers were concerned that things like almond milk were going to take away their market. A lot of our beef producers worried about lab-grown meat, quote-unquote, being marketed against them. Well, we're going to visit with Alan Bierga from the National Milk Producers Federation and find out about the real research, the real numbers behind some of those consumers' trends. Stick around. So today is the 19th day of March. Like I said, National Agriculture Day. It is also the first day back in 1911 that was recognized as International Women's Day. Over a million people in several European countries started that movement back on this day in 1911. On this day in 1954, Willie Moscone sets the world record for running the most consecutive pool balls without a miss. They called him Mr. Pocket Billiards, and he was a very successful sportsman. He ran 526 consecutive pool balls. Wow. Happened on this day back in 1954. On this day in 1962, Bob Dylan released his first album. He's considered one of the world's most influential music artists. His songs, Blowin' in the Wind and The Times They Are A-Changin', became anthems, especially in the anti-war movement. He releases his first album on this day back in 1962. Happy birthday to actress Glenn Close. She is 77 today. And Bruce Willis, he's celebrating his 69th birthday. And now you know. Well, I've been bringing it up, and I'll keep bringing it up all morning long. It is National Agriculture Day, and our Wisconsin Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection wants you to know some of the numbers that you should be aware of when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture. Stephanie Hoff has more.
Secretary Randy Romanski says National Egg Day is for everyone. You don't have to know how a cheese curd is made or how a cranberry is grown. If you eat, you celebrate. But if you are in the egg sector, he encourages you to tell that story because the impact of Wisconsin agriculture is far-reaching.
1 in 9 people in the state works in a job related to agriculture. And again, a lot of commerce starts on a local road in Wisconsin, and oftentimes that's starting at a farm. I think telling the story of where that food comes from, how it's produced, how farmers are committed to stewardship of the land and water, how businesses are looking to be ever more efficient and how they're delivering those products, it kind of helps consumers and all of us understand not only the labor that goes into it, but the importance of producing that food or fiber or fuel, how important it is to our economy. Tell the story.
You threw out a nice statistic, Secretary, that one in every nine people has a job in agriculture. But for those other eight people who may not be directly connected to the industry, they can still celebrate National Egg Day, too.
All nine of those nine people in the state of Wisconsin, nine out of nine, are consumers. And as a consumer, it's a way to celebrate that from farm gate to dinner plate, that product that's produced by farmers, by food processors here, is healthy, nutritious, and it's part of our daily lives. So it's great for consumers to know that fact, and it's great for all of us to celebrate that. So we can all find a way to celebrate National Egg Day.
For me, it's going to be probably slicing into all my favorite Wisconsin cheeses, chocolates, anything with a Something Special from Wisconsin label.
Hey, that's great. You use the line that I usually did. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, there are so many great products in Wisconsin, and we're America's Dairyland. Darn proud of it, and that's something to celebrate for sure. But, you know, the other things, you know, we by far the number of producers of cranberries. We're just about any vegetable you'd want to eat. We probably produce it here. Potatoes, meat products. We have an abundance of riches here in the state of Wisconsin. And so we owe a lot to farmers and food processors that make those products and feed us. And I, as a consumer, am more than happy to encourage people in the world of agriculture to tell that story, because they're very convincing when they explain the care of their animals, the care of the soil, and the importance of the industry to their families and the economy.
Secretary, what is an unknown fact about Wisconsin agriculture that you can let us in on today?
That's a great question, and I'm going to give you two. They're both pulled from the recent Census of Agriculture. One of them is that the state of Wisconsin is ranked 10th in the United States for total value of production of agriculture and food products, 10th. So if you think about the really geographically large states and the states that you think have a longer growing season or whatever the case might be, some really big ag states, Wisconsin's number 10. So the state and its producers punch above their weight class as far as agriculture production goes. To me, that's a really astounding statistic, and another reason that it's great to have a day to celebrate National Egg Day in Wisconsin. The other fact that I wanted to talk about, you know, I often say agriculture is part of our state's past, present, and future. We need to continue to invest in agriculture because it's so important to the people in our state's economy. But what about that next generation? And again, a data point from the Census of Agriculture is that Wisconsin is above the national average in the percentage of young producers. And these are people under 35 years old. So the question is, do young people see a future in agriculture? And, you know, Wisconsin's above the national average in that regard. And that speaks volume to the opportunities that are out here in a state like Wisconsin. And I think a little bit to the optimism. The future is bright for Wisconsin agriculture.
Secretary Randy Romanski wishing us a happy National Egg Day from the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. He says it's your day to tell your agriculture story and celebrate all that Wisconsin has to offer. I'm certainly fortunate to be sharing agriculture story with you through the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy National Egg Day.
Excellent. Thanks, Stephanie. Well, pivoting now to the markets in overnight electronic trade, we're holding pretty firm right now. Currently, December corn's unchanged at 471. November soybeans also unchanged, currently at 1181. The July wheat, that's a penny and a half lower, right now at 556. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 5¾ cents to 150. 40-pound block cheese drifted 2 cents lower at 145, while AA butter dropped 0.25 cents to 282 a pound. The April Class 3 milk, and remember, Class 3 milk's what we use to manufacture cheese, that's up 6 at 1622. The May Class 3 milk's up 3 at 1652 a hundredweight. Coming up next, numbers and statistics that you don't necessarily always see. Doesn't it seem like the headlines are always about a new trend, and that new trend in a lot of ways works against Wisconsin agriculture? Almond milk, lab-grown meat, things like that alarm a lot of our Wisconsin farmers. But they might be missing some of the really important statistics, like consumer trends. I'm talking about it next with Alan Burga. He is one of the staff members of the National Milk Producers Federation, keeping an eye on those consumer trends. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay, going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving, get it moving."
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Doesn't matter what class level, doesn't matter really which campus, faculty from colleges are invited to tap in to a free opportunity at the Food and Farm Exploration Center just outside of Plover in central Wisconsin. From 3 until 5 today, they're inviting all teachers to come on in and take a look at this facility. They are going to be highlighting some of the field trips that are available, some of the outreach materials they've got available, and it's all free with your teacher badge at the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Now, today, the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association is also going to be at the Food and Farm Exploration Center. They've invited in some Boys and Girls Clubs to learn more about that facility and more about the stories that our Wisconsin Ag Tourism folks have to tell all across the state. And they're going to start that this morning at 9:30 all the way until 5 o'clock this afternoon. The other nice part about that facility is it's got a couple different kitchens, and they're going to be using that for hands-on opportunities for the kids, and later this afternoon, hands-on opportunities for all the teachers. The Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover, welcoming everybody in today to celebrate National Agriculture Day. You know, sometimes we lose sight of what's happening with consumer trends. What are they buying at the grocery store? We know that price is an influence. Alan Bierga keeps an eye on those kinds of trends. He's one of the staff members with the National Milk Producers Federation. Right now, we're working on a farm bill or trying to work on a farm bill. And there are obviously groups that are trying to win their way when it comes to policy development towards things like restricting animal agriculture, restricting crop production, curtailing some environmental elements that could impact production agriculture. And you know, the thing is, the headlines that always make it into mainstream media are generally negative agriculture. Well, Bierga says it's time to slow down and take a look at the facts, take a look at the truth about agriculture today and what consumers are really doing at the grocery store. He explains how he monitors it as part of his farm bill development.
Well, I've either worked on lived or covered as a journalist every farm bill since the 1970s, with the exception of 96. I was in the city for Freedom to Farm. And I gotta say, the way this pattern plays out, kicking the can, unfortunately, is a pretty apt metaphor. There's a lot of positioning going on right now. There's still some talk of the House of Representatives potentially having a bill this spring. There is hope for that, but it takes two to tango, and we haven't seen those sorts of indications out of the Senate. You know, I think you're looking at a situation where the current one-year extension lapses September 30th, and then everybody's kind of spending the winter wondering how Congress and the White House plays out. You know, both parties in very evenly divided chambers, very contentious White House competition. Everybody is sort of positioning for what the new reality may be in 2025. You know, there was a good piece of news in the extension that was passed, which is that supplemental DMC, which allowed you to update your production numbers. That's now in the DMC. It's not a separate program now, and we're expecting that a sign-up should be announced in the next few weeks. It will be retroactive to the beginning of the year, because we got to get these DMC payments to dairy farms. So the actual DMC itself, the actual farm bill itself, I think there's a few steps to play on that, but the extension itself that we are under in now has some benefits for dairy farmers, and we've got to get those benefits into mailboxes pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said to Alan when we first started chatting, is I'd like to bring some positive news to the dairy industry as we struggle with the milk prices that we're looking at. And you've got positive news. I think sometimes we forget the glass can be half full if you look at it that way. Excellent survey results, information from you.
Well, it is true. The glass is half full. And by the way, a lot of those glasses still continue to be filled with milk. You know, you hear a lot of doom and gloom and anti-dairy narratives in media. And I think it's easy when you're sitting on the farm to see some of those stories and wonder, why do these urban consumers not understand us? Why do they not like us? The fact is, this is a vocal minority. Refrigerators still have fluid milk in it. People still love cheese. People are eating their yogurt or their kefir or whatever they're putting into their refrigerators. And they appreciate the product. And we actually have some very encouraging data going on right now in terms of fluid versus plant-based beverages. Plant-based beverage consumption peaked 2 years ago. Last year, taking a look at retail sales data, it's at its lowest level since 2019. And this does not seem like a flash in the pan. You're seeing double-digit declines in soy beverage consumption. Almonds, which is the largest category, down 9.8% over last year. Meanwhile, on the dairy side, you still have the long-standing trend toward overall fluid milk decline, but there's some bright spots. Part of it is simply that the decline is actually less than what we're seeing in plant-based beverages, to the point where now last year, dairy's share of that market compared with plant-based actually went up. Dairy is taking ground back now. You also see some milestones with two other categories. Whole milk, which of course we're trying very hard to get back into schools, you know, that increased last year, and it continues to be the most popular choice. When families have a chance to consume the milk that tastes most like milk, that's what they choose. And then the other one that I think is really interesting, and you're going to hear a ton about it in the industry, is lactose-free. You know, working in Washington, a lot of the pressure we're seeing in terms of nutrition programs are groups that are arguing, you know, milk's not for everyone. Lactose intolerance is a big problem with certain populations. We have a more diverse population. We need to remember that fluid milk doesn't necessarily work in most diets. You see this in Wisconsin with some of the discussion with Native tribes, for example, and traditional diets. We have a product that meets that need. And if you want nutritional access for everyone, what you want to give everybody is equal nutrition. We have that. It's called milk. It's lactose-free milk. Its sales increased 6.7% last year and actually has now surpassed almond beverages in consumption. You wouldn't think that if you looked at the grocery cart, but the fact is people buy more lactose-free milk than they buy almond beverages, which is the biggest plant-based category. So you see these lines crossing, and you see milk, when it's innovative, when it has diversity in its products, when it really responds to what the customers need, it's growing in popularity, it's doing well, it's going to be feeding the next generation, and I think you're seeing some exciting developments along the way in terms of expanding those offerings and really getting milk back to the center of diets like it has been and should be.
Alan Birgo, one of the senior staff members with the National Milk Producers Federation, talking about some consumer trends that don't make the headlines but still need to be shared, especially as we're putting together a farm bill. Again, social conversations about almond milk have gone down about 50% over the past year. The offerings on menus of almond milk have gone down. Consumers are looking for protein, and as Bjerga pointed out, you can't beat the protein that's available in milk. And he said the other thing is don't overlook lactose-free milk. That's the same milk that everybody consumes, except it's missing that one sugar that many people can't tolerate. He said that's a story that needs to get out more, not just to consumers, but to those elected out in Washington, D.C. Today might be the day that you want to share some of those stories. It is National Agriculture Day. We'll be posting items at MidwestFarmReport.com from time to time, and also make sure that you're following us on social media. Fabulous Farm Babe is my Facebook page, and I'll be out and about celebrating today, and also the new Midwest Farm Report Facebook page that we would love for you to like and share. Tomorrow morning, we'll catch up with Tammy Vossen with the Wisconsin Beef Council. They are still looking for your best beef burger suggestions from across the state.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
A cover crop planting explosion is predicted in the next 5 years. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. The latest census of agriculture showed the U.S. had about 18 million acres in cover crops in 2022. Now, a new survey projects close to 30 million acres will be in covers 5 years from now. Janae Brady is with the American Seed Trade Association.
As USDA's work to get these grants up and running, ASTA led a survey to get a better understanding of exactly what that demand looks like. And largely the results are that over the course of the 5 years of these grants, we're expected to see over 10 million acres of increased cover crop acreage.
The grants Brady refers to involve incentives to farmers to implement climate-smart practices, including the planting of more cover crop acres in the years ahead. She says the seed industry will be involved in meeting that increased demand.
As you look at sustainability practices, then the big challenge that producers have in endeavoring sustainable practices and resiliency in the land is that seed is a really important part of that solution. And we're excited to be a part of that. We're excited to make sure that we're producing exactly what farmers need to be able to meet those needs and to help the environment in the long term.
Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 player selection draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.